Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and I'm coming to you from New Zealand, down the bottom of the world. And with me on the show today, I have Stan Deo. Now, I haven't had Stan on the show for quite a while, but Stan, you've been on the Minute to Midnight show a lot of times in the past, and we had some very interesting discussions, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And I'm really, really glad to have you back on today, because I'm sure this will be another very interesting discussion. So welcome back, Stan.
Thank you, Tony. I'm coming to you from Pueblo West in the high desert of Colorado. And it feels like the desert today. It's warm out there. We've had very little rain, so we're going to have water restrictions, I think, this year, believe it or not, here in Colorado. Who knows? Anyway.
Well, all right. Yeah, I mean, your west side of America has been very dry. So, yeah, I can imagine there will be some water restrictions coming. I was talking that with my last guest. We were mentioning that. And, of course, we're at the beginning of winter here in New Zealand, though. To be honest, it's been the first couple of days of our winter have been very mild compared to normal. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Now, you know, for years I've studied the sun, solar events and things and their effect on the Earth. And there are a couple of other people doing that now. Then a professionally trained geologist and meteorologist. The sun, this solar cycle is doing something very anomalous. We've never seen it behave this way. A lot of sunspot groupings, north and south hemisphere. The polarity of the sun, the north-south magnetic field, main magnetic field, is shifted sideways like this. So it's running across the equator, north-south like this. And it's been that way for almost a year now, just absolutely screwed up. And it's causing internal turbulence. It's throwing out coronal mass ejections and flares, you know, X-class flares. And I've been warning people about this. I think we're going to see a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy about the sun, that a cloud of dust is going to rise up around the sun because it's going to throw off part of its outer shell out in through the whole solar system. And it might take several months for that to get clear of our whole system. But we've seen something like this already happen to a star in what's called the Monoceros Cluster. The European Space Agency made a video of it. And it shows that this cloud of dust went out through its system. And we're going to see that go out through our system. Now imagine what happens when a very dense cloud of mass comes out of the sun and out through the system here. It's going to be between us and the moon even. And that dust cloud is going to tint the light coming from the moon, which is reflected sunlight, to a reddish color, you know, the blood red moon.
Yeah.
And it's going to block our ability to see a lot of the stars with our telescopes, a naked eye. Prophecy says it's going to wipe out a third of the stars. We can't see them. Well, that's because that thick, dense cloud has got to pass by us. Now, at the same time that this happens, I think another event that Revelation speaks of is when the sun becomes so bright all of a sudden that it cooks a third of the Earth's surface facing the sun, cooks green grass, you know, the trees, it boils the sea in a fraction of a second. And that's when that cloud comes off, I think, is that brilliant burst of light as this sun changes its energy state. The Earth is facing like this. Here's the sun over here, and here's the Earth. This part of the Earth facing the sun, about a third of it is all gets hit by direct radiation from the sun. So that side of the Earth facing at that moment gets cooked, and it's done. And that heat energy is into the whole atmosphere of the Earth over here, and that will spread overnight to the other sides of the planet, and making it very warm. And having destroyed whatever was here facing the sun at that moment. So these things, I'm looking at the sun. I've been studying for years now, and I do think that we're going to see this happen in our lifetime and probably within the next year or two, maybe three. But anyway, it's going to be alterations in the sun that are going to affect our weather. Already, what is happening now is that the southern pole of our planet, if you look in, it's called the Null Wind Map, N-U-L-L Wind Map. If you look at the bottom, there's a totally anomalous thing happening on our upper atmosphere. It's heated down to the pole, south pole, like crazy, and the rest of the planet up from there is cool. And this is in the middle of a super El Nino. It shouldn't happen that way. As I say, there have been other guys, that professionals on the YouTube that are, you know, discussing this. And it's serious. Whatever it is happening in the sun is going to be, I'm sure, what Revelation and the Old Testament speak of as far as events on the sun, which are going to occur, you know, at the beginning of the tribulation or during the middle of it. Anyway, it's I've been studying that. My jaw is dropping when I go there every day and look and see what's happening. And I think that tells us that we're close to those part of prophecy occurring. But the other thing that's happening is I've been watching this disclosure business on the internet.
Yes.
I mean, there, you know, senators, congressmen, congresswomen, I mean, all kinds of notables, Steven Spielberg, you know, producer, saying that in June, when he releases, I think it's June 12th, when he releases that disclosure movie, it's going to be a change in the human paradigm when they realize what he's trying to say in that movie. Strangely enough, you know what I know about being in the program and anti-gravity and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
When I try to contact any of these, the congressman, the senator, the news people like George Knapp, all these people that are talking about disclosure and interviewing people, when I try to get to them through email, it won't go through. I can't get through to them. I'm blocked. Now, this I find amazing. It leaves me only one other avenue other than getting people who are like watching your show saying, look, get on to the disclosure projects and get to, Senator or Congressman Tim Burchett and to Representative Luna, get to them and give them my homepage, standeo.com,
yeah.
And then tell them to go to show images on that page where they can see the coil structure that I'm having people build right now to make anti-gravity and discussing how time is altered with these things. I can explain all the mysteries that they have about how these craft behave in an atypical way. They seem to violate the laws of physics, but they don't. So get to these people and tell them, go contact Stanley. I mean, even my phone number, 719-250-7007, so I can get through to them and tell them, look, let me explain. You know, so much of it that would become clear. But anyway, you know, your people, your listeners could help, and then somehow or another I got to figure out a way to get through to them. But I'm astounded.
That would be good, yeah, if any of our listeners and watchers can do that and pass you and your website on to those congressmen, that would be great. Because, I mean, if there's any newcomers that haven't seen you before, I know a lot of my listeners know exactly who you are, but some probably won't and don't realize that you were part of the whole anti-gravity project as far back as the 1970s, and we've covered that in other videos. In fact, one video I did, it was a bit of a compilation a couple of years ago of some of the interviews I've done with you, and that one, you know, that one went very well. There were a lot of people who watched that video, and was probably the most watched video we've done. And it explains, you know, well, you explain in it how you were involved in all this stuff those decades ago. So how much more advanced it is now and how much more you would know now is, you know, because that's a long time. Yeah. So,
you know, I've got a couple of fellows down in Melbourne that are making, they're amateurs, but they're making a very basic anti-gravity coil. I've been teaching them over the last 6 months. You know, get this part, order that part, put them together. And about once or twice a month, I have a visit with them. And I also have 33 other groups doing the same thing all over the planet to make, from a very amateur point of view, to make anti-gravity so that we can show people, look, this is how it works. And we've been having a dickens of a time getting the core material and stuff that we needed. And in one group, I had to teach them how to use a soldering iron. That's how amateur they were. But anyway, I figured this is important to show people how it works. And I've got the equations, and the instruction on how to build it on my website on the show images page right there when you open it up. So it's still available, as far as I know, to people to look at. And it's important to say this before the actual release of the flying saucer alien stuff they're going to do in Disclosure. Otherwise, they say, well, Stanley, this is sour grapes. You're saying you knew about this already. But if I say it before the event, then they say, well, yeah, that's what Stan was talking about. There they are. They're imposters. And, you know, it's important, I think, from a Christian point of view, to warn people that Disclosure is going to do what they say. It's going to disclose our relationship with these quote-unquote aliens. But they're going to come out of it with a lie. They're going to tell you these aliens are our friends, our elder brothers from space. And there'll be two or three, maybe four alien types. But all of this has been created by Satan and his minions. This is a deception that the Bible spoke of, a great deception that's been going on for decades. Well, even millennia, really, if you look at it. But of late, decades. And it's important for us to warn people. They're going to come, and they're going to pose as messengers of light, angels of light, like the Bible says. So don't be misled by this if you're here. Hopefully, your listeners are all Christians and believers, and they will be raptured before the event. Be out of here.
So, okay, I'm going to preempt something here, which I know will come up in the comments, because I know what the listeners and watchers of our videos think. So you mentioned 33 groups. I know straight away people are going to say, ah, Stan Deo's controlled opposition, there's 33, there's that Masonic number, and that's going to come up in the comments. So perhaps you might want to deal with that from your own mouth rather than me.
Well, if you heard what I said 33 other groups. There are 35 in total, so it's not a Masonic thing at all. It's just the number of people that responded when I said, let me teach you how to do this. And so the 35 groups, as I say, all over the planet. And the reason for that was I want them to understand the theory and be able to reproduce it in various countries so that this technology is not lost, so that people can understand it's not magic. Look at this. You watch the Disclosure interviews and stuff. They're saying, you know, admirals and generals and scientists and newscasters are saying, how can something be sitting here in front of our F-15 or F-22 in the air and then suddenly go up 85,000 feet before you can blink your eye? That's impossible. It breaks the laws of physics. No, it just is beyond what you understand about how the physics behaves when you change certain parameters. And these coils that run these ships and other things, inside the ship, in the very center, there's a vortex, a magnetic vortex spinning that you create with these coils. Inside the ship, at various times of its energy, you know, where you're releasing it or winding it up or whatever, time alters in the center. If you're a UFO pilot, you're going to age thousands of times faster than those outside when you stoke up the field. Now, if you reduce the field, you can land and walk out and say, hi, folks, how are you? Once you get back inside the field and rev it up, then time for you inside is traveling at maybe 5,000 times faster than it is outside the field. A case in point, in Brazil, back in the 70s, I think it was, there was an Air Force base, and there were soldiers there, Brazilian soldiers. It was nighttime, and a light landed out in the extremity of the airfield. In the bush. So a sergeant and I think four of his men got in a jeep and went sailing out there to see what was there. They stopped the jeep in the approximate area and they all disappeared into the bush. Before they left the car, they said, okay, in 15 minutes, let's agree to meet back here, see what we found. So everybody disperses into the dark, into the bush. 15 minutes pass by and four of the guys are back, but the sergeant's missing. And they're saying, where did he go? And with that, he comes stumbling out of the darkness from the direction he went in, saying, muchachos, muchachos, ayúdame, por favor, help me. And he has a 5-day growth of beard all of a sudden. And his watch is on the wrong date. He tells them, I saw the light, I walked up to it. And what happened was, he was in the field far enough that he got to age like the pilots do, quick. And if you do the sum, 5 days in 15 minutes, you're looking at several thousand times the normal time passage outside. This is why when they're in the air next to a ship or aircraft, our aircraft guys look at it and say, wow, look at that thing zip, zipping around. inside the zip around thing, they're looking at us in slow motion. Okay. And so that's why when you shoot a missile from one of these F-22s or whatever at a UFO that's got this kind of power, they see it coming before it even leaves your ship. You know, they say, oh, yeah, they're going to fire a missile in our direction. Okay, break out the cards and some coffee. We're going to rev up the field. We're going to zip up to 85,000 feet in a minute. And so it takes, you know, minutes and minutes of your time inside the craft, and you're looking out through your TV cameras that look outside the ship, and you're seeing everybody else in slow motion, frozen in the sky. That's why they can do all these magical things. It's because of the difference in which time passes inside the field versus out where we are. And this explains immediately why you can have these 85G turns all of a sudden without breaking the ship or hurting people inside. Because inside, you're spreading that sudden 85G turn. Instead of in a fraction of a second, it's spread over like days inside. And that allows, you know, the change in inertia and direction to be spread over, to be amortized over a longer period of time, so that you experience nothing more than about 1G force, you know, in the room. You might have gravity be sideways inside the center of the craft for, you know, several hours or days while things are happening outside.
So this is the kind of stuff I want to tell. Who's powering these crafts? Who's in them?
Well, some are ours. I mean, we had anti-gravity in the early 60s, and I was recruited in the program in the early 70s. But toward the end of the 70s, we were kicked out of the bases where the fallen ones, the aliens, end quote, which are really fallen angels from a parallel world where God lives, parallel universe. And so some of them are piloting these craft. In fact, they control the skies, if you wish. Our guys operate our anti-gravity with their permission, so we don't get too far ahead of the game. All they wanted us humans for was to build the infrastructure they needed and get the minerals they needed to build weapons to fight against Jesus when he returns, you know, in the Armageddon conflict. And so, yeah. Some of them are there, some of our guys are there, but with their permission. It's sad, but it's true. I've seen one of the devices here over Colorado Springs. One day at lunch, I was out in the street there, and a thing that looked about this big, a silver ball, came right over Colorado Springs and right into Cheyenne Mountain, you know, where NORAD is. No sound, nothing else, right in broad daylight, just a beautiful thing to watch. But there are all kinds and shapes of their craft with different functions. Some are monitoring and sending information back to a central place that we're collecting it, and others are performing duties in the war zone over wherever we're fighting at that time, in Iraq or, you know, perhaps in Iran. I don't know. We haven't got the reports from that yet. But, yeah, it's humans, and mainly it's fallen ones, you know, angelic hosts that are bad guys, in my opinion.
So when it comes to the disclosure, you know, we haven't seen the full of it yet. They've had small disclosures of things, you know, releasing information, which is like, oh, okay, this isn't really much different than what we've seen before so far. But what do you think is going to be the line they're going to tell us when they do a bigger disclosure?
What's going to happen is they're going to introduce on camera some of these beings eventually. That's going to be the kind of disclosure that people want to see. Let us see an alien, you know, prove the point. And they're going to release documents and videos and things, audio recordings, which will supplement that disclosure, that release. Now, what's going to happen, though, during this disclosure, we're going to see a shift. The Illuminati, if you wish, the ones in the know, the people running the planet at the moment, are going to lose power. The banking system is going to lose power. We're going to go to a global economic system that the fallen ones will have a human run. He will be the Antichrist. And we'll see these things released over a period of time. For those of us that are raptured, we won't see that except from a higher viewpoint than we are here on Earth. But the majority of the population that's not been raptured will be seeing these bad guys, the Illuminati, destroyed, their power destroyed, and the truth coming out, truth in quotes. You know, they'll explain a lot of the mysteries and say, look, we're your elder brothers from space. And these three races that we have here are races that are from other planets that we're bringing to you to meet. And all these people that have been raptured or disappeared, they've been taken. We've taken them off the planet into another world to train and get their vibrations right to live in this new world that the Earth is becoming. Our vibrational rates are going to change. And so, you know, they didn't change. I mean, we got rid of the Jewish people, you know, the Christian evangelists and stuff like that. These extremists that were being a nuisance, you know, a fly in the ointment when we tried to set up a perfect world for you. So this is the kind of stuff that's going to come out in the disclosure. And when it reaches that point, of course, is when a world government is formed, and it's when, you know, quote unquote, peace and harmony, love and all that stuff pervades the whole planet. Everything looks wunderbar under the new rulership. Christians that haven't made the rapture for some reason are going to cheer because they're seeing, the exotic, you know, extremist Christian groups gone. They're going to see the Illuminati gone. They're going to say, wow, the Illuminati are defeated, you know. They're going to cheer the arrival of the quote-unquote aliens, which are really, fakes. I mean, they're fallen ones in different disguises. So that's probably what we're going to see. We're going to see a gradual release of this stuff over the next few months. And it's going to change the human paradigm. Think about it. You have jobs that now in the real world, some of these jobs are going to become redundant, not necessary, because of the new technology that will be dropped on the human race. And so you're going to see things like universal income, guaranteed income for people because they don't have to work anymore. There's no job for them. All these kind of things are going to look good, sound good, and be a deception for you to support these quote-unquote alien gods that are coming, demigods. Yeah, that's what we're going to see. And as I say, if Christians weren't removed in the rapture, this is what they would see. But it says that even the very elect Christians would be fooled if such were possible. But it's not going to be, because the Christians are going to be pulled up out of the earth in the rapture. And here's another bad thing. Do you know who the physical Babylon, New Babylon is in this age? Not the Catholic Church and all that over in Europe and religious things, but the physical Babylon, do you know who that is?
There's a lot of different opinions on that.
What do you think?
I haven't got a definite one. I mean, there's Jerusalem, there's New York, there's Rome, you know, Vatican, there's a literal Babylon. I don't know. At the moment, I would say New York looks the most likely, but...
Wait, not just New York, the entire northern... the North Atlantic, not North Atlantic, but America and probably part of Canada. We are the Babylon of this age. Look at the confusion of languages and religions that are housed here in the United States. I had two dream visions in 1996, and they were separated by several months, and so I didn't put two things together. But I was being shown the beginning of the discussion of Babylon, physical Babylon, this age. It will start over on the west coast of the United States with volcanoes erupting, about eight of them, from Washington State all the way down to Mexico City to Popocatépetl volcano down there. And all these eruptions will be because of a break in the fault line going down the west coast, and that's going to break apart, and there will be huge amounts of fire coming from these volcanoes, throwing stuff over east in the wind. And America will break into three parts, that part there and down to the New Madrid Fault. Strangely enough, the destruction of Babylon, spoken of in the Bible, is breaking it into three pieces, and it's like a stone, a millstone being thrown down into the ocean, sudden, horrific destruction. And that's going to happen to the United States. It's one of the reasons that in New Testament, Christ says to the bride, he says, come up out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins nor her judgments. This is how the rapture occurs, coming up out. It doesn't say get out of Babylon. It says come up out to me, Christ saying this. So America is a great traitor worldwide. With the destruction of America, the entire world economies, the merchants and stuff, are going to panic because there's no one like America to consume their goods. It's going to bankrupt the entire planet. And so people are going to be desperate for a new financial order and a place to, you know, to work and live. This is why they will fall so easily prey to the lie given to them by Satan and his minions. The deception is going to be absolutely perfect for a while anyway, till people realize they've been had. Sorry, I got off of my soapbox there, Tony.
Yep, well, that's definitely an interesting possibility, perspective. And I know that people that listen to this show, as far as rapture, there's, you know, various people's timings on it. There are pre-trib and mid-trib and pre-wrath and post-tribulation. I see the gamut of all of the different ones here, so it'll probably end up with an argument. But it's still interesting.
There's no reason to argue. Don't argue. Look, I could be totally wrong in my pre-tribulation rapture interpretation, and I realize that. So I'm just saying, if we discuss these things and look for signs, you know, that the Lord is sending us, that's probably the safest point to take. Just beware that we're in the middle of a deception. That's real.
Absolutely.
And where does the tribulation start? Well, I don't know. Soon, I think, but who knows?
I mean, it's interesting. I get people sending me all sorts of things. You know, somebody emails me a very thorough research they've done, which he believes it puts Jesus' return in 2029. And he's done incredible research on it. And I can't fault the fact he's put all that time and effort in. But, you know, I'm still like, we'll see. I don't know. And it could be, but... I do think whatever the case is, we're getting very close. This is the end of the end days, you know, it will, give or take a few years. I don't think we'll be around terribly long. So one other thing, just digressing from that, I wanted to ask you a couple of things is with aliens and spacecraft and all that, what are your opinions on two things? One, the ocean, and the second one is Antarctica. When it comes to this type of thing, this disclosure, these alleged so-called aliens and spacecraft and things, where do you think Antarctica and the ocean fit in with this?
Well, that's an interesting question now, Tony. In the last couple of weeks, I've been having some new thoughts on that. If you, first of all, think about the news stories about disclosure of these alien UFOs, where are they seeing them? In the air? And in the ocean, they come up out of the ocean and down into the ocean. And I think about Revelation 13, where it says the first beast comes up out of the ocean. And John is on the sands of the beach, it says, watching that as it comes up. And then there's a second beast spoken of in the Revelation 13, coming up out of the land. And so I got to thinking about this. Well, South Pole and under the ice crust, we know that the Germans were trying to get down in there and did succeed before the end of World War II to go into tunnels that went under the ice cap. And, you know, we see it's now starting to warm up down there. Possibly there are aliens or fallen angels living under the ice cap. I know we were briefed on that in the program I was in, but I never met anybody from down to the South Pole, you know, under ice base. But then... if you think about it, if you were Satan and you were going to develop things and technology over thousands of years while you waited for mankind to get to the point we are now technologically to supply equipment and materials to him, you would hide. You don't want the interference of humans. So where would you hide that humans can't go? Well, for a long time, it was space because we didn't have access. But for all that time, we couldn't go under the ocean. Our water's very deep. We didn't have that technology. Still now, it's very difficult. And do we explore, you know, journey to the center of the earth? Do we go into the land and into some, you know, deep tunnel into what's living underneath the surface of the earth? We don't do that either. It's too difficult because it gets hotter down there and all kinds of problems. About the maximum depth we've done is about 5 miles, you know, drilling a hole down like that. So it's an ideal place for Satan to move his base operations into the ocean depths and into the crust hidden away from the surface of the earth. So it's interesting to me that the scripture does say that first beast comes up out of the ocean, second beast comes out of the land, and it tells where in the land, in the Iranian area. You know, it's kind of playing tricks with my mind at the moment, trying to put my mind around that. Because like you, I thought when they said it comes up out of the ocean, that was out of the masses, the people, you know, that interpretation. But, you know, I've learned in the past that sometimes what I think of Scripture means changes that when I read it later on again with, you know, whatever I've learned in life, I think, oh, wait a minute, I didn't understand that properly. And this might be one of those where it literally means it will come up out of the ocean. With the field that these craft generate, they can generate a whole city under, a gravitational field, local field, down at the bottom of the ocean. And, hold on a second there. I got to turn this off here. Let's turn this off just a second here. Okay, sorry. Had to turn off the phone. It goes through my headphones and rattles my brain. Anyway, so I think that we're going to have to amend some of our understanding of what these symbols in Revelation mean, for the good. But we're there. We're about to see disclosure that will astound people. And I really hope that we're not here to observe that. But if we are, then we have to avoid being numbered in the new economy. It means giving up possessions, can't earn money, can't own property. So we've been warned about that. So if we are going into the tribulation point before the rapture, we know what to do.
You've just gone kind of crackly since you took the phone out and put it down. I'm not quite sure what.
Testing, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yep.
Is it crackling?
No, it seems to have stopped.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Yes. Now I've lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you a question.
Are you going to blame that on old age or what?
Probably, yeah. So I guess looking at this South Pole and the ocean and things like that, it is interesting that there's a lot of buzz around those things, you know. And do you think that'll be part of the disclosure? And also, you know, to do with those places and then of course there's underground tunnels and all that. That's always coming up. And then what about AI? We, you know, this whole thing, and under the Trump administration, the AI has been pushed so hard now.
Yeah.
How does that fit with all of this?
Well, AI, of course, is just a program or a series of programs. It's not a living creature or anything like that. But the AI in, say, Europe is going to join with the AI in the United States, and China has AI as well. And they're all trying to control access to these databases. I'm firmly convinced that the leader that the aliens, the fallen ones, appoint for Earth will have some sort of a brain interface to a computer system that is run with AI. This is going to explain why he can perform tricks and have knowledge of how to solve problems that is, you know, beyond human understanding. Who could make war with this person? Because it's AI. And the artificial intelligence will be, in combination with this man that runs the planet, a beast. You know, it's something that we can't beat ourselves. And the race to get there is driving us incredibly quickly to a world run by AI. and hiding from it's going to be difficult and all kinds of things. So, yeah, I see that we have to develop that, you know, against the Chinese and perhaps against, you know, Europe doing it or Russia. There are several AI programs around the planet, and eventually they're probably going to merge into one. And it won't be nice because it won't have human compassion. It'll just have, you know, zeros and ones, yes or no, good or bad. Well, they don't have good or bad. That's a value decision. So we're going to be run by this automaton, which it will interface through a human. I think that's what we'll see.
Well, we've already got digital IDs being rolled out and you know, cryptocurrencies, central bank digital currencies, stable coins, all of these things. And you can see that they're working towards pushing everyone into a system that you can't function outside of already, the move towards that. So I think it won't be long before you won't be able to access the internet without a biometric ID and all of that. So,
right.
I can definitely see it moving in that direction really fast. And the brain chip interface They're pushing in that direction really fast as well. So it's all converging.
Yes, and rapidly. I encourage people to study the scriptures, particularly the book of Revelation, but to beware that we are being deceived even now. And this disclosure process hasn't even really started, to releasing the heavy stuff. But we are being deceived by what we're seeing in the news, as so this is something that humans can't do, it's aliens, we're being fooled now. And people need to be aware of this. I've tried the best I can, and a number of other people have too, to beware of being fooled by this fake alien invasion. It'll be a transdimensional one for sure, from heaven to here. But beware. And I suppose if we're going to go into the tribulation period before we're raptured, then you need to do things to prepare yourself to be on your own. I mean, find a hidey hole in the the state parks or somewhere, and learn how to live off the land, so that you don't have to take that number. I mean, it's going to be hard if you can't earn money because you don't have a number. You can't own property. You can't pay taxes. You can't buy gasoline. You see what I'm saying? I mean, Holly wrote the book, The Dare to Prepare book, and the last edition was in 2016, I think it was. But anyway, in there, she addressed what you need to do to cook with the sun and make aluminum foil, aluminum foil for you guys down in the southern hemisphere. But how you survive without having a number. And I hope to goodness that you don't have to do that. But if we do go into the tribulation period, you better figure out how you're going to get, sunlight to cook your meal using a bottle of water and a lens effect from that to start fires and things like that. You need information on how to do that. And certainly Holly's book does. Oh, it's like 632 pages of how to do it for all kinds of problems, not just, disclosure. But anyway.
Even if it's not that far advanced, I mean, the dare to prepare, even now, we've seen, lockdowns and different things and other scenarios, or earthquakes and various natural disasters, and being able to prepare to survive at least short periods could be extremely beneficial to people, even without, the extremes of a tribulation.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of changing our website at the moment to announce that we're going to put Dare to Prepare out at a third the price at the moment, to your third reduction, to let people, buy it without having to spend a lot of money, because it was an expensive book. I think it used to go for about $49. So we're getting rid of that and going down to the 20s with it, so that people can get it now without having to be wounded financially. It's now or never, and we're going to dump everything out on the internet. Amazon wouldn't let us lower the price for some reason, so we're doing it on our own site, standeo-cart.com. You can look at our books there. And I'm throwing out another book at half price that she wrote on prophecies for this time. It's called Prophetic Perils, or Prophetic, let's see, proper, an end times prophecy. Anyway, I forget. I call it proper prophetic perils, and it tells about the war that's coming in the Middle East and the countries involved, and to warn people about this. So between those two books, I think that's what people ought to be reading and using now. We're not going to reprint any of these things. We're dumping everything out as quickly as possible to help you. I can't afford to pay the postage on it, but that's about the best thing we can do.
So you can buy your various books on your website, and can you still get the your earlier books as well?
Cosmic Conspiracy.
Yeah, is that available on there as well?
Yeah, we have about 35 copies of that one left, and there are a number of video things that I put on a flash drive if people want it, lectures and stuff I've given, and the journey to the Garden of Eden and that kind of stuff. But all those are on the website. You can look at that and see, and I'll do the best I can to get them out in a hurry for people that want them.
So that's at standeo.com.
Yeah. You can see the link to all the books on that front page.
It's cool. So
and they're all still there.
Yeah. Have you got any other things you wanted to mention before we wrap up? Like, is there anything else we haven't covered?
I guess we've covered at the early part of this program about the drought and the
right.
sun.
Yeah.
We're going to see some terrible famines and disease because of that. Which again fits in with biblical prophecy. The mechanism is the sun affecting the earth. Well, by God's hand, but anyway. Yeah, that's all I can think of. Just educate yourself on how to survive without, you know, normal electricity and things like that, normal cars. I hope you don't have to use that, but it's time to start seeing if you can survive out in the bush, you know. It's like that TV show, Naked and Afraid. They toss you out in there and say, okay, survive, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's some very simple things that people can do, like, you know, learning how to make fire with a lens out of water and stuff and all those kind of things. And then how do you stay ahead of people tracking you? You're going to be on foot, so you need to be fit. So time to go to the gym again, I guess.
And that becomes very difficult as people get older, obviously, you know.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I was working on our Explorer Ford thing. It's an old car. And I was working on the battery, had my hand on the latch where the hood comes down. And the support rods failed. And whang, down onto this hand, two prongs. It missed by 1 millimeter. It missed breaking two bones in my hand. And for, you know, for a week, I guess now, I've had big bruises and stuff. So, you know, I'm getting old. At 81, I'm starting to fall apart. So,
Well, that's, I mean, it's good that you're still out there doing this anyway. So, yep. Age certainly catches up.
I hope that the people that are watching, your audience are watching, they have questions that we haven't addressed or answered properly. They can always email you and you can forward it to me and I'll send you some answers and stuff like that.
Okay, yep.
I know there's so much to talk about that we're likely to miss a thing here and there. Yeah.
Yep, so if anyone wants to forward any questions, yeah, they can just contact me through the Minute to Midnight contact page and I'll forward it to you. All right, Stan,
like a plan.
Yeah, we'll wrap up at that. So thank you for being with me again. You know, I see it's been a long time since we did the last interview, so it's good to have had you back.
Good to be back. Good to be breathing.
Yeah.
All right, Tony.
Awesome. Thank you. Cheers.
May the Lord bless you.
You too, Stan. Folks, please make sure that you share and like this video and also subscribe to us at our various channels, YouTube and also Apple Podcasts and our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And please also remember that we do run 100% by donations, and we do really appreciate the people that donate to us. It's, you know, I couldn't really do it without your help. So if anyone does want to help through donating, you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days' time.